Well, and there's nothing wrong with sitting and not buttoning your pants, if that's what it takes.
That's another word from home park.
And then when you stand up to leave the house, you button your pants.
You put on your purse and you button your pants.
Yeah.
That's how you accessorize an outfit, guys.
Listen, pants are not made for sitting bodies. They're just not.
You're listening to Burnt Toast. I'm Virginia Soul-Smith.
I'm Corinne Fay.
And I'm Daisy Gillespie.
Daisy is back with us today because, as promised, we are wrapping up the Unflattering Toast Style Challenge with one more episode to just debrief everything we loved, everything we hated, what we learned during the past few weeks.
We've spent a lot of time over the past few weeks texting in a little group chat about our outfits and our general ups and downs, so join us in our little group chat.
It's like a text thread made live with voices.
Well, let's jump in and start with week one. This is where we were all thinking of style rules that we could break. And I have to say, some of y'all had some weird ones. Well, mostly Virginia. No, I'm just kidding. No, I definitely had weird ones too.
I'm still not thoroughly over the Birkenstocks and skinny jeans rule. I mean, I broke it, but I think it still is a rule for me. And I was affirmed by, I'm not going to say an overwhelming number of people agreeing with it. But I think I heard from like three people who were like, I also have that rule. And I was like, okay, then it's not just me.
So just to clarify, the rule is Birkenstocks are too clunky of a sandal to put with a skinny pant.
If the skinny jean covers your ankle.
Oh, so if it's cropped, it's okay. I didn't know this aspect.
That's right.
It's very specific.
Right. All right. Well, that was the big rule I broke.
The place that I'm like wanting to start is how actually hard it was to get dressed. The first day, I just had a pile of discarded clothes that I still haven't fully put away because I wasn't just like picking up the clothes off the chair that I wore yesterday. I was like trying to find stuff that felt like it was stretching my capacity. I think I'm more comfortable wearing like a fancier shirt with like basic pants. Mm-hmm. So felt like it ended up being some like fancier pants with more comfortable shirts. And also I wanted to try wearing like a dress and I kind of failed. And also was like, if I were going to wear a dress, it wouldn't be one of these ones that I have in my closet, which I do not like. So
good to know.
That's good intel to gather. Like you've been buying dresses that you actually don't want to wear it all, so.
Well, I think a lot of them are from pre-pandemic life that I just haven't gotten rid of. But I was like, yeah, I can, like, style these. And I was like, no, I can't. And I don't want to.
Yeah.
You did the mesh shirt that week.
Which everyone loved, including us.
I now have that outfit in, like, my back pocket if I ever have somewhere fancy to go.
Or, like, the grocery store, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
It felt very versatile to me. And that was a very different look than what I typically think of as, like, a Korean outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It took a ton of energy. I'm not going to lie. Like, halfway through that week, I was like, I want to quit.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done. I was, like, starting to get, like, resentful of this thing that I had part in creating. Same as you, Corinne. Like when I was trying to push myself or stretch myself, I like how you said stretch yourself. It just took a ton of thought. It took trying on multiple things and trying different combinations. And, you know, I hadn't really done that in succession very often recently to remember kind of what that effort was like. Maybe back when I was working an office job, but that was pre-kids, pre-pandemic, all of the things. So yeah, it was draining.
And I want to say too, like the fact that we were also trying to share and document our process was an added layer of labor because sometimes I would put an outfit on and then I would be like, I don't think this will make an interesting reel, which I was aware was like not part of the challenge, but it was hard to turn off that part of my brain and be like, this, it feels rule breaking, but I'm not getting a good photo of it. So forget it. And I hope other people doing the challenge, or if you're going to do the challenge in the future, maybe you don't share it on the internet. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was hard.
I found that part of it to be very gratifying. I was really enjoying the sharing, chatting on Instagram and TikTok about it. I think also just because we all in some capacity work from home. So it was nice to actually have people noticing what I was wearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, if I just wear it in my house, it's a tree falling in the forest.
Totally.
did this outfit happen? Yeah. So yeah. It's like suddenly we have clothing colleagues, which was nice.
I think part of what also was so interesting about this week was the sort of creativity and effort that I was putting towards trying to find outfits. Like, I didn't buy anything the first week. I was just like not feeling the temptation to browse. I was feeling like, whoa, there's so much stuff in my closet that I'm not wearing. And how can I be creative with that? And then week two and three, that totally disappeared for me.
You and I both pushed ourselves, like you maybe with the mesh top, I'm guessing, me with the bare legs dress. Like, we both pushed ourselves to wear things that were a little more visible than our day-to-day look. Like, and it was nerve-wracking to decide to wear it. But then actually when I was out in the world wearing it, I was like, ooh, I like wearing a more visible outfit. And that was kind of cool to realize. I do feel like I had a real personal growth moment about my bare legs hang up. And I'm really, I'm proud of that. I mean, obviously I was cold because it was 50 degrees and I did identify the need for a coat, which I'm still shopping for, that works with a dress with bare legs, but it was really liberating. That was one where I really realized how much that was a voice in my own head and that actually nobody cares if you are seasonally appropriate in your aesthetic. Like, it still doesn't sound true when I say it out loud. So convinced, but nobody was like, I'm wearing a sweater and you're wearing a dress with bare legs. How inappropriate you are.
Because you were wearing boots, right? So you were wearing a full coverage shoe. So it would have been different if you'd been wearing a dress with bare legs and an open toe shoe. And Everyone else was wearing like a jacket and freezing.
That would look odd. Yes.
Yeah. Then You'd feel like you were like on vacation in the tropics and everyone else is in New York State.
The backstory for people on why I'm so hung up on bare legs and whether it is seasonally allowed, whether you are allowed to wear bare legs in public, is because earlier in my career, I had a brief stint as a celebrity ghostwriter. I cannot say who the celebrity was, but I can tell you that during one of these projects, I was out in LA with said celebrity who was wearing head-to-toe black, even though it was May in Los Angeles and like 78 degrees. And I was wearing like, I can still remember, really cute layered cream and tan sort of sheath dress with brown fry boots and bare legs. And our picture was taken by the paparazzi because that happens to this person all the time. This was a very new experience to me and it will never happen again. And when the paparazzi ran the photo of us, I was described as her gal pal.
Wow.
Which I have many friends who will never let me forget. And next to this very tiny, famous, beautiful woman wearing all black, my legs appeared to be, I would say, yes, twilight vampire sparkling white. It was just one of those moments where I was like, oh, that's why she wears all black. That's a smart thing the celebrities do. Because you have a lot more protection in how you come off in a photo. They're very careful about when they show their skin because of the scrutiny they're under, which is a terrible way to live and like a whole comment on our society. But meanwhile, my calves were illuminated.
I mean, I once had someone say, I like your white tights when I was wearing bare legs. It's
real. Yes, we are a pasty people.
Yeah.
I feel like that really is like something, and maybe it's changing with younger generations, but the whole growing up in the 80s and 90s and the pure requirement of being tan, Anytime your skin showed, I mean, people were risking their lives for that, literally. So that is a tough one to let go of if you've lived through that.
But I did it. I broke through and I felt like, oh, this was not a big deal.
Virginia, just as you're telling that story, it's interesting to me that actually in the situation, you were the one that was dressed more appropriately for the season and the weather.
But not according to like LA celebrity standards.
Because the LA celebrity standard is to ignore the weather.
Correct. It's hard to be with a famous person, period. It's a stressful event to dress for, to go and be around famous people. And like, you're going to just sort of be this like fly on the wall in their life. And so I was like stressed about it and thought I'd really figured out a cute outfit. And then when we met up, I was like, oh, this doesn't feel like the thing I should have worn. So I was sort of already self-conscious about it. And then I see the photos and I am a neon sign of caps.
I hear this a lot. That can be really traumatizing where you show up wherever it is wearing what you feel like is the wrong thing.
Anyway, I feel like I did a lot of healing and growth. And I agree with Corinne. It felt like a very creative week. Like when I found an outfit I really liked, I felt energized by it. I didn't feel like I needed to shop. It was hard, but those were some of the real positives for me.
That's so funny that you felt energized by it because I felt not energized. I felt very self-conscious. It felt like it took more energy just to exist in the outfits that I was wearing.
Was this because you were wearing red?
Yes. Yes.
Daisy hates color.
I've been trying to figure out exactly why. I mean, one thing is I'm a very on the spectrum of introvert. And so I don't love a lot of attention. I do not want to be that person walking into a room and everyone's like, ooh, you know, creating some sort of attention getting spectacle or something. So yeah, it just feels very uncomfortable emotionally. And then I discovered through this process that like, I think I have some sort of like inner rebel, which is not my personality. My personality is very people-pleasing, but I have some sort of inner rebel around the issue of style and particularly color. I said in one of my posts, I feel really like a little girl stomping her foot saying, you want me to wear red? I'm not going to wear red just because you want me to. When I was growing up, I have brown hair, you know, brown eyes. Everyone's always like, you should wear red. And I tried it a few times and it didn't feel great. And so this was my first time trying red after probably 25 years, to be honest. I didn't dye.
You wearing a red shirt is not actually walking into a room like, woo.
I wore a red shirt twice and I wore a chartreuse green shirt once as well. Some of it I didn't mind. And it definitely was a bit of a, you know, re-immersion therapy where you start to get a little bit more comfortable. So I think I could now wear a red shirt and feel better.
But you might not because it's just not your favorite.
Well, I would say some of the outfits with the red, I did really end up liking. And I would love if I saw them on someone else. And I want to say, too, the only reason why I did actually stretch myself to wear those colors is because I really am enjoying the look of that. Just visually and on other people and in images. And so, you know, I did feel a desire to try it. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have done it at all.
All right, let's get into week two. Week two is where we honored our comfort and tried to find a safe outfit. And Virginia and I immediately got bored and started shopping.
And Daisy was so happy.
Yeah, I was so happy. Oh my God. It was like sliding into a warm bath.
Wow.
I do think some of this was the pressure to make content around the outfits and then being like, oh, my safe, comfy clothes. They just don't feel that interesting to share with the world.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So I do think that was part of it. But Daisy and I are polar opposites on this color conversation. And if I wear just comfy, baggy neutrals, I feel like I have erased my personality. I feel so blah and bored by what I'm wearing. And that was clarifying to realize because I thought week one was going to be the really hard week and that week two would be so easy. And it was fascinating that it was the opposite for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, it was the reverse for me as well. Yeah. Like week one was so hard. And then week two, I could literally go to my closet, grab two things, put them on and just move on with my day. I never had to change an outfit. I never had to figure out like, does this work together? And it's interesting what you just said, Virginia, about it's like you felt like you erased your personality. But think about the Vogue editors, right? Like the people who are creating these like fantastical spreads and amazingly creative photo shoots and photography, they're usually wearing all black.
Just like the Hollywood celebrities who don't want to be photographed that day.
Exactly. Or fashion designers. I mean, think of Michael Kors. Think of like, we don't want to bring his memory up, but Karl Lagerfeld. Any of these people, they had uniforms, right? And not to align myself in any way on their level, but I did start to feel this week like maybe that is what I'm doing. Like this is easy for me to go on and then do my work, which is actually helping other people with this and being creative in that way.
I imagine that if I had your job, Daisy, I would feel a lot of pressure to look a certain type of way to try and sell people on myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that actually, because I've been running this business for 11 years now. And in the first, I don't know, six, 7 years, I did feel that way. I felt like I had to show up perfectly every time. And it was exhausting. I mean, it was basically like week one. And so now I am just so, so grateful. I mean, I have a ton of privilege in many, many ways, but I also have the privilege of working with the type of people who I know are not going to judge me because I'm not wearing the latest trends or I don't have perfect makeup or any makeup. I am constantly grateful for that.
That's really freeing. I like that. Corinne, what were your week two feelings?
I was getting caught up on like the duality of comfort versus liking how something looks. I was like, is this comfortable? And do I like how it looks? And I don't know, I couldn't find the sweet spot there. And I think it was like on Wednesday of that week that we were texting and Daisy suggested, why don't you try putting 50% as much effort as you put in last week? And then I was like, okay, I can see where this could work. I was kind of thinking of it as, okay, well, I'm just going to be wearing my most schlumpy outfits. That's not very fun.
I definitely thought of it differently. Comfort for me encapsulates not just that physical comfort, but the like, I do like it. I do feel like myself.
I mean, and we had talked in the first episode about like there's comfort in terms of physical comfort, which might be your sweatpants. But I think both Corinne and I would struggle to wear sweatpants out into the world. Like there's the whole visible fat person thing. And so safe and comfortable outfits for those situations might not always be physically comfortable. And so I think that tension was something I was thinking through a lot. Like, am I trying to dress for social comfort or purely physical comfort, or can I do both? And as I'm saying that, I'm realizing what I was missing from that is what you just said, Daisy, which is like comfort also means I like how it looks. Like I like how it looks, not it will meet with the arbitrary approval of whatever bias I'm expecting to encounter.
This idea of liking what you're wearing does provide a real sense of security when you do go out in the world. I mean, it's not always going to help everything, but for me, and this is kind of one of my working philosophies with people, is like, if you at least have a base comfort and confidence in that, at least you know you like your outfit, you are a little bit more able to go out into the world and say, well, I'm comfortable. If other people don't like what I'm wearing, I'm less concerned. Whereas when you are maybe trying something new or you're wearing something that you're not sure if you like, you already have that level of anxiety. And then going out and being presented with other people and their potential judgments becomes like really stressful.
Mm-hmm. Virginia and Daisy, did you feel like you found a safe outfit this week?
The outfit that I liked best of the week was what I wore to my kids' talent show on the Friday. So it was that blue striped Draper James shirt dress over skinny jeans and Birkenstocks. So this was also a week where I was very visible on the internet.
Yeah.
And that was complicated. And then I was like, oh, I have to go to the school function where I'm going to be visible in this other way. And that outfit I felt so good about because it felt polished, which somehow felt important to me. Like I couldn't go to the school event in sweatpants. Not that you can't, you absolutely can. But like that particular week where I was emotionally, I felt like I needed a little bit of armor on. But it was also very physically comfortable. Those are my universal standard jegging skinny jeans that have an elastic waist. They're not binding or falling down. They feel good. And I just felt like, oh, I threaded a needle here. And I really liked how it looked. Like I had the pop of color. I had the things that make me like an outfit. And I felt like really proud of coming up with that at the end of that particular week.
Yeah. We were proud of you too. That was the outfit that I was thinking of when I was kind of describing that. You feel good and you can go out in the world.
I was able to navigate something that turned out to be utterly fine, by the way. But I was in my head before I went and I was able to show up in a way that I felt confident. And that was satisfying.
My safe outfit was really like leggings and either a chambray or a blue striped button down over. And so that is an outfit that I can nap in. It's something that I can honestly have worn the leggings to sleep in the previous night. But then by throwing on this chambray or this button down, I felt cool and like I could go about my daily activities, but it required no effort.
I think I struggled to find something that felt like a like safe outfit uniform, but I feel like that's mm-hmm. because mine is just like a t-shirt and jeans or something.
I feel like you do have kind of a uniform of the like button down, short sleeve mm-hmm. button down or short sleeve polo with the shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's like peak Corinne outfit, I feel like.
Which hits both of our check boxes of cool and comfy and also your style.
All right, so now we're in week 3. We are recording this on Wednesday, so we're not quite through the week. But the goal here is to reflect on the past 2 weeks, see if there's any insights you can integrate into what you're doing moving forward. I'm having a hard time this week.
Are you really? Why?
I think, again, I'm like, oh, am I making content or am I getting dressed? Mm-hmm. That turned out to be a bigger struggle than I expected mm-hmm. for me through this whole thing. It's Wednesday and I haven't yet posted an outfit. Mm. I will. I do feel like I'm starting to pull together some of the things that I thought worked in the past 2 weeks. Do either of you feel like you're noticing any like major changes in how you're getting dressed now versus when we started the challenge?
I've definitely noticed some patterns. I'm more comfortable in like an exciting shirt and a like less exciting pants. And it's also making me think a lot about my overall closet. I really want to pull everything out and go through stuff. And it's also making me think a lot about the infrastructure of my closet. I have a bad closet setup, guys. I just have to admit it. There's so much stuff that's just like not getting worn because it's out of sight.
Like stuff's like buried in the back.
Or... yeah, I basically just have like a shelf and everything's folded on it. But if the folding gets a little bit knocked over, there's a layer in the back that just never comes out. So yeah, I've just been thinking about how I could change that. Probably not a quick solution.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference when you're getting dressed, really. I mean, and it's funny that you say you have everything folded because I will usually, if it's possible, recommend that people hang everything because it's just more visual and it's just easier to see.
I think that would really help.
I definitely hang way more than I fold. And I have all my shirts hanging for sure. And dresses and some pants.
Do you even hang like t-shirts?
I do. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's mind-blowing.
Y'all should see Corinne's face right now.
I do have like base layer tank tops rolled up and put in a drawer. Yeah. But like that drawer contains only navy blue and white tank tops. So I don't need to see those out. But then any other kind of t-shirt that I might wear by itself, if I have it rolled up in a drawer, I'm not going to remember I even own it.
I have my loungewear and sleeping t-shirts in their own drawer. I don't love all of Marie Kondo's kind of organizational tools, but if you do have a lot of t-shirts and you don't have room to hang all of them, if you do the file fold, the Marie Kondo file fold, then at least you can see all the t-shirts that you have.
One of my other takeaways was I want to accessorize more. I think I can really get into a rut where I'm just wearing like t-shirt jeans or t-shirt shorts. And like, it felt fun to think about like, okay, t-shirt and jeans is comfortable. How can I make it a little more myself?
Mm-hmm. I had the same thought. Daisy's always putting a cool necklace on. And yeah. I was like, wow, I own no cool necklaces. Like I haven't bought a necklace since my younger child was born, I'm sure. When I was in the baby toddler phase, I stopped wearing them and they never came back.
This is amazing, guys, because I also had a similar revelation about accessories. And mine was, I can wear my simple, easy, neutral outfits and not be bothered. But then if I do my accessories in color, then all I have to do when I leave the house is grab my bag and put on my shoes. And all of a sudden now I have the pop of color. And so my realization is maybe I am a pop of color girly. Like, mm-hmm. is that possible?
But the tiny pop, just jewelry pop, just, basically.
Yeah,
just a necklace.
I mean, I love that.
It's not by any means an original idea or anything, but I do always want to remind people that when you're getting dressed and you're working from home, very rarely are you fully dressed, right? I don't wear shoes to work from home. I don't wear my purse. And so sometimes our look isn't like complete until we put those things on to go out and enter the world. And those things make a big difference.
It's shorts weather where I am now. And I feel like so much like accessorizing or styling stuff is like layering, like adding clothing. And I'm like, no, I'm already hot. No more. I sent everyone this TikTok about millennial socks. And so I've also been thinking about, ooh, can I accessorize with cool socks? Like maybe totally. I need to buy some socks.
I like that idea.
I feel like my other big epiphany, Daisy, you mentioned like the wearing more color did help you adjust to wearing more mm-hmm. color. I do feel like I am now much more comfortable in straight leg jeans because I wore them pretty diligently, I think, every day of the first week. Mm-hmm. And then at least once or twice last week. And I was like, oh, yes, the volume's turning down on that. Mm-hmm. That said, my universal standard straight leg jeans that I do really like how they look get really baggy and fall off me by like 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I did order them in a smaller size, but I'm like, does that mean I can't breathe for the first 2 hours of the day? We'll see when they arrive.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with sitting and not buttoning your pants, if that's what it takes.
That's another work and from then
when you, yeah, and then when you stand up to leave the house, you button your pants.
You put on your purse and you button your pants.
Yeah.
That's how you accessorize an outfit.
Listen, pants are not made for sitting bodies. They're just not.
I mean, I just want it to be better. I'm just going to say again, there are actually no good jeans. These jeans are cute and comfortable for a matter of 6 hours, and that is the best you can hope for out of jeans.
Meanwhile, I love them and could wear them every single day a week, so whatever.
Yes. I don't know what's going on with me and my inability to get pants to stay on my hips. But aesthetically, I feel like I've really come around on it. That being said, we have spring privilege going on right now where I could wear them with Birkenstocks and like sneakers without socks every time. And I still feel like come fall, styling straight leg jeans with boots is going to be another journey I go on.
I really think the key is the pants length, the jeans length. Okay. So I really feel like with straight leg, you do need a little bit of an ankle length or a slightly cropped, and you achieve that with the cuff.
Yeah.
And so I do think when fall comes that you should be able to make that work that way. I personally really don't think you should have a break in your jeans. You know how men's pants will
break over the shoe.
Have like a fold, over the shoe. A lot of times when people say, I don't know what shoes to wear with straight leg pants or with whatever, it's always about the length, and the length is usually too long.
That is good insight.
Gen Z
Your mileage
disagrees.
May vary. Yeah, I know.
I am curious, would you both do this again at some point?
Big hesitation.
I feel like if I were to do any style challenge again, this is the one I would do.
Sure. It did make me realize, we spoke about this at the beginning, but that little rebel in me is bristling a little bit about the, like, I have to wear a certain thing at a certain time. And that doesn't take into account what I want to wear at this particular moment. So, yeah, I think style challenges may just not be for me.
That's valid. What about you, Cran?
I think I would do it again probably in like a year. I was going to say this earlier. I realized that it was helpful for me to do like a tiny bit of planning in advance. So like, I would do Monday and Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, I would be like, this is what I'm wearing today, this is what I'm wearing tomorrow, this is what I'm wearing Friday, and I was really liking having it planned out. It's actually so nice to just wake up and know I'm wearing something that I like the next day.
That's such an interesting thing, because I think that's why when I was doing the first week and I felt so just drained by all the decisions, there were a couple of days when I did plan it out, and that made it so much easier. And so I think that is required for this kind of like creativity. That's very interesting. And I think the other thing I'll say is that there were a few times when I kind of wore an outfit over the weekend, or I wore it like earlier than I actually posted it. And what was interesting is like when I would post the outfit that I actually wasn't wearing that day, I was like, oh, but I could easily throw this on. Because it's been thought out already, and I have a photo of it, and like, oh, here's what I could wear today. There's no decision to be made.
I do want to move all the photos I took of these outfits, like put them in a folder on my phone for the next time I'm feeling like, oh, I got to get dressed and I don't know what I'm doing. This is a very helpful record to have. Yeah. I think I would do it again, possibly in the fall. Mm-hmm. I think it was very helpful to do that week of rule breaking and challenging myself before I thought about shopping for spring clothes. It did make me like take stuff out of my closet that otherwise I would have been like skating right past and do that like shop your closet thing for a while, because I don't feel quite as itchy. I mean, as Corinne said, we have both been shopping again the past 2 weeks, but that's, I think, more of a personality trait of ours. I don't feel like I have this like long list of, oh my God, I need everything for spring. I have nothing to wear. I feel pretty clear on like, actually, I have a lot of clothes that I can be wearing right now.
I guess one addition to my response would be, I would probably do this again if I didn't have to document it for the public. Like if I was just snapping a photo on my phone to put in an album on my phone and no one else had to see it, I didn't have to make commentary on it. Yeah, I think it's a useful exercise for me, the content creation, which is part of what I do all the time, but it also is such a pain.
Meanwhile, I think I might keep posting outfits on TikTok.
You should, Chris.
Well, listen, I have a couple clients where like they're like, oh, I want to wear these cool clothes I own, but I have nowhere to wear them. Nobody will see me. And I've had several people create a private Instagram account just to post their outfits and like 10 people follow them or something.
Interesting.
I mean, I was going to say, like, I feel like it's fun to like just text. Like if I was going to do an outfit and document it, I'd probably text you guys and be like, look at this cute outfit I put together.
I think it definitely felt fun and fulfilling to like be more creative with clothing and also chat about it.
I think you tapped into something. I think like you are on your way to being a style influencer. I'm calling it right now. Again. I think Corinne has always had amazing style.
It's going to catapult her into finally on upper TikTok. Echelons. That's so funny. I think I just through this challenge, I just quit TikTok. Like without realizing
it. I had already quit TikTok.
Yeah.
I
mean, so that's so funny. What was the difference? Was there a different response on TikTok?
On TikTok, all the comments are just from like random people. And also just getting all these comments from random people I do not know being like, cool, nice. It just doesn't feel like Instagram.
Well, we should also say that Corinne is working on a very cool new style-related project that you will be hearing more about in a few weeks.
It's so, a Substack.
Yay! If you follow her on TikTok and Instagram, stay tuned because there is more Corinne style coming your way. All right, let's do butter.
My butter is a pair of shorts that I got and wore during the challenge. They're a stripey short. I've been seeing a lot of people wearing striped boxer-ish type shorts, and I was wanting to try that trend. So I found some blue and white striped linen shorts from Old Navy that I liked, and a lot of people on the internet also liked. So just wanted to share those here. Those are my butter.
I really loved those striped shorts on you. And I'm also, I'm just never upset about a stripe in anything. That was a real insight for me from this whole challenge.
Yeah, but I feel like striped short is a little more exciting than a striped shirt, but not fully striped pants, which do feel like a stretch.
Okay, my butter is also striped. It is this Target shirt dress, maxi shirt dress that I have in the green.
Oh, this is
stripe.
So cute.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, so Emily Henderson wore this. And was like, it's great for all body types. And I was like, okay, Emily Henderson, tiny blonde woman. I mean, I love her interior design, but like, you know, you take with a grain of salt that advice. But I was like, let me just order it. Cause I was like in Target ordering, you know, cleaning supplies and whatever else. And I have the XXL in the green stripe. It goes up, of course, it's sold out in some colors, but it does go up to 4X. And what's real challenging about this dress is I will get mistaken for pregnant in it. Like, it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen because it has this drawstring gather right over the top of your stomach. And if you, like me, have kind of not great posture and a belly, like, it's going to happen. And I have just decided, like, fuck it. I don't care. That's their issue. I really love this dress. It's super comfy. I could nap in it.
It's really cute.
And if you are pregnant, this is a great option.
Yeah, there you go.
It would be nursing friendly.
My butter is this new style of pant. Well, I don't know. New within the last year or two of pants called the barrel pants or the balloon pant or whatever you want to call it. But it has this interesting almost... It almost makes you look bow-legged, like the style of the pant. I have just liked the uniqueness of it and liked the kind of modern newness of it. So I've been on a quest to find some that I liked. So I tried a bunch on this week, and there are some from Anthropologie that I liked that go up to plus. And then from Everlane, they go up to 2X, but I had to size way down in everything I tried. So I would comfortably say that some of the Everlane pairs could go up to a 3X if you're typically
a 3X. That's exciting for Everlane. That's usually not a brand that does that well.
I think I found some winners.
Awesome. All right. Well, this was a delightful episode. I do hope folks experiment with the challenge. You can do it anytime. You do not have to be doing it alongside us. It was really fun to see what other outfits folks posted. Some people really went to town with this. But if you do post outfits, use hashtag unflattering toast so we can see them. or tag our Instagrams or tag Corinne on TikTok. Tacy and I won't see it, but we're happy for you. And yeah, I hope people feel like they can break some rules and also be comfy. Today's Indulgence Gospel was produced and hosted by Corinne, Dacey, and me. You can follow Corinne Fay at Cell Trade Plus. Dacey is at Mindful Closet, and I'm @_soulsmith, all on Instagram.
The Burnt Toast logo is by Deanna Lowe. Our theme music is by Jeff Bailey and Chris Maxwell, and Tommy Heron is our audio engineer. Thanks for listening and supporting anti-diet body liberation journalism.